possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back. We've talked a lot about the fact that tomorrow the special session gets underway, called by Governor Kehoe to deal with a couple of key issues, redistricting and, surprisingly, initiative petition reform. I asked Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger to join us this morning to talk a little bit more about that. And, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, welcome in.
Hey, Mark. Glad to have you. I hope we had a great Labor Day, and we got a little bit of rain here this morning. I wish it was rain for another hour. My lawn's starting to brown up a little bit, so we'll get there. But we're having great weather in Missouri, so we're doing great, and I hope you had a great Labor Day. We got a big Stiefel golf tournament coming up this weekend, so we got a lot of good things happening in Missouri.
Yeah, we sure do, for sure. What's your take on the special session? I mean, were you tipped off that was coming?
You know, it'd been rumor. I kind of kept my distance a little bit from it, Mark, because there were a lot of issues with the congressional delegation trying to sort this thing out, I think, in terms of the map, and I just kind of kept my distance from it. But I think President Trump, obviously, I think, was pushing this pretty hard in terms of getting some redistricting done, and then I think I and others certainly wanted initiative petition reform. So, I don't think it came as a surprise to anyone.
Well, are you actively going to, like, when the session starts, are you going to be over there actively involved in this process? How does that work for you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be in the belly of the beast. So what the process is, so the governor calls a special session. The House of Representatives will take it up first. So this week will be the House of Representatives taking up this redistricting issue together with the initiative petition reform. They will do their work this week, and then the Missouri Senate, which I preside over, will then take it up the following week. So we'll either go in on Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll see how this week plays out with the House of Representatives. Probably eternally scheduled to be in the veto session on Wednesday, September 10th at noon. That may, you know, obviously with this special session, we're going to have to sort things out and see how the representatives play out. But I expect, you know, there'll be a tremendous amount of protesters at the Capitol. I'll be presiding over the state Senate. So it'll be pretty feisty next week in the Missouri State Senate over a couple of these issues.
I'm sure you're being consulted a lot on the legal side of this. A lot of people think that even if the 7-1 is approved by the legislature, this thing's going to court. What will the legal arguments be on both sides that you say legally this is well within the boundaries of what the legislative power is? What's the defense going to be? What are people who are going to be against this?
So, as to the redistricting, obviously my personal preference would this should have been done 2 years ago.
Yep, exactly.
You know, this would brought up more conservative legislators in the Missouri legislature, you know, push this 7-1 issue. Again, so we've dug ourselves into a hole. Now we're digging ourselves out of a hole. It's the Missouri legislature in action. Same with initiative petition reform. You know, should have been done 2 years ago or even probably longer than that. And now we find ourselves digging ourselves out of a hole. And you're left with a little unusual, you know, where it's, done on outside of the census. I have not researched the issue. I think probably the Trump administration and Kehoe administration. We'll see. I expect there will be a lawsuit filed shortly thereafter. But what's frustrating for me is the supermajority of Republican legislators allow them to have this argument. Yep. Because in my mind, this should have been done 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
It could have been done. You take that argument off the table. So from my standpoint, you know, it's frustrating. But I ran as a conservative outsider, you know, to kind of shake things up and kind of move big conservative legislation across the finish line. So I'm absolutely delighted we're going to be taking a good hard look at this initiative petition reform. And I intend on leading the charge and be presiding over the Missouri State Senate next week, see if we can get this done.
Good. That's Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger with us this morning. On the initiative petition reform, the version of this that I've read about that it appears the governor is backing is the current 50.1, 50 plus one vote statewide, and then 50 plus one in five of the eight congressional districts, correct?
Correct. It goes even deeper than that. It bans contributions from foreign nationals. It establishes a criminal offense for fraudulent signatures. You know, it mandates, you know, as you said, initiative petition be passed in all congressional districts. It requires a public comment period on all statewide ballot measures. You know, it provides a copy of the proposed changes before a vote is cast. So there are some real positive things in this initiative petition reform outside of, you know, just the vote total that's required. So, again, I'm very excited. We're finally getting some good conservative legislation brought up in Missouri legislature, and I'm cautiously optimistic we'll get it passed.
Changing to crime, are you in touch with the DOJ about any initiatives in St. Louis to combat crime from the White House and the initiatives that you've seen in Washington, potentially in Chicago this week? Have there been discussions with you bringing that kind of force into St. Louis?
No, but my understanding is President Trump is going to have a news conference at 2 o'clock today. My guess is that might involve the beautiful city of Chicago. And then, you know, I think he's going to move from Washington, D.C. to Chicago. Hopefully St. Louis and Kansas City will be on his wish list at some point in terms of time, in terms of getting his crime under control. But my speculation is that Chicago is probably going to be his next bestow that. But I think Governor Kehoe has been in contact with them, you know, in terms of what the role of the National Guard would be. But really, that's a big issue both Governor Kehoe and I campaigned on is public safety. We need to get this crime under control in both St. Louis and Kansas City, and frankly, other areas. Columbia has a lot of crime. Joplin has crime. We really need to get this crime under control in these urban areas so you feel safe, you know, walking down to the St. Louis Cardinal game or going to a St. Louis Blues game. So we would be open arms. We'll engage in that dialogue. I think Chicago may be his next one he's interested in, though.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We could certainly use some help in St. Louis, too. Lieutenant Governor David Wasinger, thank you for your time today.
Always a pleasure, Mark. All right, take care. And I look forward to seeing everybody at the Missouri Right to Life Dinner a week from or next Monday.
Yeah,
Laura
yes,
Trump
sir.
Will be there out in St. Charles County. So we look forward to seeing everybody there.
We'll all be there.
We will be there, sir. We'll see you then.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep, have a good morning. We appreciate it. Good to get him on here.
Yeah, it was.
All right, coming up here is the audio up over here.
You're Ethan, on. You're hot, on? Baby.
All right, listen to this.
I get to do the last interview with Jack Buck.
Oh.
And that was amazing. He told me, come by the stadium after the game and we'll sit down and talk about my poetry book.
That is our Dan Buck right there on Show Me St. Louis doing an interview on their big anniversary they got coming up. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back in just a few minutes.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. You know, we have talked to Dan Buck a lot about this, that there's an anniversary show that he's going to be part of coming up for Show Me over at Channel 5. And I got to watch a clip of it the other day where Dan broke down in tears. And it caught my attention immediately. It was a great promo, by the way. And we got Mary Thayer, who's a producer on Show Me, and Mary Kaltrider, who's the host. And thank you guys so much for giving me a minute.
Oh, we are so excited to be here.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Cool time of the year for us.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. And, you know, Dan, of course, I've known Dan since we worked at Channel 4 years ago, and then Channel 5 stole him away. And then he ends up as he was the first host, right?
He was a reporter. He started as a reporter.
He started as a reporter, for sure.
And then he became the host after John Pertzborn left.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much fun has it been for you guys to put this thing together and look at the history of it over all those years?
Well, I got to say, being from St. Louis, watching Dan my whole life, one of the highlights of my career will be able to say I made Dan Buck cry in that interview. It was just such a beautiful, real moment. You know, he was talking about the Jack Buck interview after 9/11. It's Jack Buck's last interview. And me, I was only 5 when 9/11 happened. And I still remember that baseball game because it was such an iconic moment with my family, with my parents, and to see Dan Buck get emotional about something like that was just a really beautiful, beautiful moment. And there's been so many moments like that.
Sure.
And I think that's the special thing about Show Me is there's so much passion in the staff and the people that have made the show what it is. And that's heart. You can't teach it.
And the biggest lesson out of that is how old Dan is. If you were in, if you were only 5 years old when that happened. Oh, my goodness. I love giving him grief about that. But I mean, the long list of people. Now, I knew a few of them, like Dan. I, of course, knew Debbie Turner.
Miss America.
Is she back? Yes. Did you bring her back?
We Zoomed with her.
Okay.
Which was amazing to chat with her. And I think that's been the really cool part about this is being able to talk to all of them and hear their experiences. And it's really a testament to, you might not remember everything in life, but you always remember how things made you feel. And so whether it's talking about coworkers, whether it's talking about stories, there's a lot of moments and there's a lot of joy and just laughter. And it's clear that that's kind of reshaped how I see my job of like, okay, yeah, maybe in 20 years, I'm not going to remember this exactly, but I'm going to remember how much joy it brought me, which I think has been cool. And we've been throwing it back. We've had Throwback Thursdays for this entire past year. So we've been watching their previous stories. And I think every time our team is like, wow, I'm not sure we make TV like that.
Absolutely not. It was just the golden age. I mean, we look at this stuff and we're like, guys, watch this. How can we recreate this magic that they created 30 years ago? I mean, after talking to all of them, it just seems like they really caught lightning in a bottle with that staff.
That's a good way of putting it. You know, I was in the market, obviously, when that happened. I got here in 93 and worked at Channel 4. And when that show first came on, all the critics were like, well, that's not going to go anywhere. Nobody wants to watch, you know, an hour or two of just people doing feature stories. And then it caught lightning. And just like you said, right? And it attracted people like Dan, who were really good at that kind of thing, right? I mean, he was just so great at putting feature reports together. And I mean, that was never my forte. At least I didn't see it that way. I was a hard news reporter. And I always hated when they sent me on feature stories. And then I had a news director one time who told me, there's no such thing as a bad story, only a bad reporter.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
like, ooh, that's a low blow. Thank you. So he kind of got me. Hit a few of the other names that you guys were able to go back and bring in for this anniversary show that you're putting on.
Well, I got to explode things at the Science Center with Heidi Glaus.
Oh, nice.
Which was amazing. And she had said that was one of her favorite memories. And right when we left, I said, I can't believe I've never blown things up at the Science Center until now. Like, I didn't know this was an option, Heidi. It's like amazing. So hopefully we'll bring that back and around.
Absolutely. And I went to Dominic's on the Hill. I've gone to Dominic's many times, but I went with Julie Tristan and Wendy Erickson to cook in the kitchen with Dominic. And that was so special because I remember watching them in the kitchen with Dominic when I was a kid.
Sure.
So it was really special. Malik went out with Dan Buck and did some 1995 trivia, our reporter Malik. So it's been a really fun time. Kenny Koger, audio for 20 plus years for Show Me St. Louis.
Randy
Schwenker. Oh my gosh. Our chief photographer, best photographer editor in the business. We love you, Randy. And you know, talking to the technical guys has been so fun because we asked, how did you invent this look? And he said how MTV was such a big deal in 1995 that they really, you know, they brought Dutch tilts and shaky cameras. The camera really became a character in these stories. And I think that's kind of what makes Show Me.
That's great. And I'm so glad they did that because there was back in that time frame in TV, there was a real... It was you know, wide shot, medium shot, tight shot from the photographers, and getting them to break out of that mold and move and shoot and walk and talk and all that kind of all happened at the same time. And when that was brought into a show for 2 hours, where every story was shot like that, what a difference that made, right?
Absolutely.
For sure. And here's a little trivia for you, and you can remind Julie Tristan of this. Julie started at Channel 4 in production as my teleprompter operator when I anchored the morning show at Channel 4, which tells you how old I am. So I'm just gonna,
and then it sounds, I believe then she came over to 5 doing the same thing, like PA work. And then she ended up landing the job on Show Me, which she said was her dream.
You guys did a lot of that, though. You developed a lot of talent from internally, didn't you, for that show?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Dan was telling me.
Yeah, and that's what Heidi started as an intern in 1996. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me growing up, being 29 today, I mean, Heidi, what is Show Me St. Louis to me? Like, I remember her so much.
So when is remind me again when this airs?
September 5th.
All right.
Next. That's going to be Friday.
Next on Friday.
September 5th. I had to stop myself, Mark. The TV girl on me was like, I actually don't know when this interview airs.
So September 5th at 10 a.m.?
10 a.m. on KSDK. And then you're going to want to download the 5 Plus app. It's available on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Samsung, because that second half of the show is going to be on our streaming app. So we're going to have an extended special, and you're not going to want to miss that second
half. That is some smart marketing. Can I just tell you that?
Thank you so much.
I love that.
Second half, just for even smarter marketing, we have some crazy things that some of these previous hosts and reporters
did. Oh, yeah.
It's a tell-all. You could tell people, like, okay, finally, I can speak my mind.
Yes. Yes.
That's great. Well, Mary Cultwriter and Mary Thayer from Show Me, thank you guys so much.
Mark Cox, thank you so much.
We're looking forward to it, and we'll let Dan Buck talk about it all week. How about that?
Yeah, amazing. Thank you, Dan.
You guys take care.
All right. How about that, Dan Buck?
That's awesome.
You had no idea that was coming up, did you?
No idea that you talked to them. That was wonderful. Mary Thayer, what a sweetheart. I mean, kind of a person behind the scenes, but that show wouldn't be what it is even today. Without the hard work and passion. You talk about, 12-hour work days. That girl,
wow.
She is a work fiend and does a lot of stuff behind the scenes to make that thing go on the air every day. Yeah, great show.
So back to the Jack Buck interview
that
brought you to tears here. You said you didn't expect that reaction.
No, we were just talking. She asked me, what were some of my best interviews? And I just said, well, the Jack Buck. And as I started thinking about it, I thought, truly, it was one of those interviews that just sticks with you. I mean, he was such a humble, kind man. I mean, it was the last day of the regular season, and I'd been bugging him for a couple of weeks about a new poetry book he had come out with. And I said, it was for cystic fibrosis. He was raising money for them. And I said, can we just sit down and talk about your poetry? He goes, I don't like talking about that kind of stuff. I put the book out. Finally, he calls me up and he said, hey, last game of the season, meet me at the booth. See you at the ballpark. When the game's over, the season had ended that day at Busch Stadium, and we just sat there for an hour and a half in an empty stadium, and it was so amazing to have him open up. He talked about his military career, which he was very private about, didn't talk much about that, talked about all of his poetry. And it was horrible that I only got to give 3 minutes of it, because literally the interview went well over an hour. And it was truly, to this day, the greatest highlight probably of my career.
And that was the last interview that he did.
It was. He died a month and a half later. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was incredible. It was just one of those things that, I grew up listening to Jack, and the whole reason I went into broadcasting was because of Jack. He got me my first job in St. Louis, made a phone call. My dad was a dear friend of his growing up, and same name, no relation, but they had been friends for years, and he made a call to the news director at Channel 4 and got me my first job to go work with you.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Yeah.
So. And the rest is history.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's coming up. So that show is coming up Friday.
Yeah.
And then they've got all those extras you can do if you download their app. I thought Mary was very smart to point that out.
Yep.
That's good stuff. All right. Good job, Dan.
Appreciate
Buck.
You doing that. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're happy for you. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Wiggins, America. Wiggins will be in studio with us. How about the vaccine talk from RFK Jr., and even the president demanding some answers from the pharmaceutical companies. We're going to get to all that and more in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, we got Ryan in studio with us this morning. How are you, Ryan?
I'm great. How are you?
You feeling healthy?
You know what? I'm the only one in my household who is.
Is that right?
Everybody else is sick except me, and my son's, hanging in there, but they're all getting over it, so everybody's okay, but...
Glad to hear it.
You
need more pharmaceuticals.
We do. We need a lot more pharmaceuticals.
A lot more.
Anything they recommend, I just shoot in.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's my great pleasure to say that Dr. Marty Makary of Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration last week has approved COVID-19 vaccinations, but here's what's causing all of the uproar over this. It's only for adults over 65 and for people 6 months and older who have risk factors.
Imagine that.
So they're pulling their endorsement of the COVID-19 boosters for sure. In fact, I'll read this little quote here. It says, first, this is from Dr. Marty Makary. First, the FDA can approve products only if we believe there is substantial certainty that the benefits outweigh the risks. Currently, we don't have that confidence for, say, a seventh COVID shot for a healthy 12-year-old girl who recently recovered from COVID.
Yeah.
These are very plain things that I'm not sure why these are controversial, but people are really making a big uproar over it in this industry.
If you don't have some, I mean, we talked about this 5 years ago, but if you don't have some natural immunity to it by now, because just about everybody's had some strain of it, you're never going to have that. And even at the time, Dan, as we talked right. about, wasn't affecting the kids. The first strain didn't affect the kids at all. And the people it were affecting were mostly 65 and over, or people who already knew they had underlying health risks.
Major comorbidities.
Obesity or something like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we saw it especially in the youth sports ranks that good, healthy athletes were not being affected. Even if they were getting it, they weren't spreading it. They weren't having hardly any symptoms. In fact, most cases were symptom-free. They would test positive simply because everybody was testing the crap out of everybody.
Sure.
And they're like, I have it? Oh, really? I don't even have a runny nose. You know, kids were easily
I look back on some pictures from that era. And it is an era, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a moment in time now for the entire world. And I look back on pictures from when my oldest son, now who's 11, was starting to play soccer. And there are games where the entire field is full of kids running around, and they were in kindergarten at the time, with masks on while playing soccer. And I think everybody's got some weird pictures like that, that you go, there is zero science behind the vast majority of this.
It was all a guess.
And by the way, the latest recommendations from the FDA, these are completely in line with the rest of the developed world. Yet for some reason, our former CDC officials and pharmaceutical industry folks are making a huge, huge uproar about these changes to the recommendations.
Yeah, I was just checking here to see if the president, because the president made some comments, was it yesterday, about the pharmaceuticals wanting them to tell the world what they told, share the research that they shared with him. Is that what he said?
I can share the gist of that. So what he said was in this Truth Social post that the pharmaceutical companies, because Trump has long said, hey, I was Operation Warp Speed. I've been, you know, fully in support of it. And so he's been kind of on the fence about how to handle this issue because his base is all saying, hey, man, you need to reconsider this. So the pharmaceutical companies have been coming to him and saying, look, here's the data. Here's how well this worked. And he's like, great. I love your data. Can you release that data? And they're like, no. And he's going, why can't you give what you're giving to me to my HHS, to my FDA, to the science community at large? They can't answer that question. So they're giving him all this data, and he's saying, this data looks fantastic.
Oh,
can it be scrutinized? And they're saying, no.
Why?
Yes.
Why?
Why can't it be? So this, to me, looks like a very obvious problem that I'm very glad that he's calling out, and people are referencing that Truth Social post that you just brought to me there and said, okay, Trump is finally turning the corner on this, because he's been long loath to criticize the vaccines.
Yeah, they show me great numbers talking about the drug companies, but they don't seem to be showing them to many others. I want them to show them now to CDC, to the public, to clear up this mess one way or the other. I hope Operation Warp Speed was as brilliant as many say it was. If not, we all want to know about it and why. Thank you for your attention to this very important matter. President DJT.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of doctors out there who have done great research, especially on autopsies, that would contradict anything that was positive coming, including what they claim to be millions of deaths globally from the shot. So, you know, there's got to be some gaps in their research, or they didn't do placebos, or they didn't do control studies. There must be a reason why they can't release these great numbers they showed the president, because they know there's data problems with it, is my guess. Because once the pros start looking at what they're saying, they're probably going to say, no, this is completely a one-sided.
Right. They lose control of the
narrative.
The narrative once they release that.
Yeah, and they're not releasing all the stuff that came through the portal, you know, the side effect portal that has been squelched and was really squelched during the Biden administration. They weren't even releasing the data coming through the VAERS report, which is where you go to report side effects. And, you know, my wife works in medicine, and there's a lot of medical providers afraid to report through VAERS because they may lose funding if they report too much too often. And when I say funding, I'm talking about from the pharmaceutical industry, that if you're not supporting their narrative, you're not going to get some of those kickbacks that these big health organizations get from the pharmaceutical industry.
It's pretty crazy.
It is. Follow the money.
Well, maybe the president will talk about that today at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we still don't know what he's going to announce, do we?
Or 1 o'clock. I keep saying 2.
1 o'clock our time.
2 Eastern, 1 o'clock Central. All it says on the White House press release is, President makes an announcement. That's all it says.
You know, it's tough because that's right during our show, the Annie Fry show.
It'll be
right
in the middle of it.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
But the problem is you never know with him whether he's going to come out and announce something that is absolutely bomb drop, or he's like, we're going to change the regulations on housing and urban development. You know, like he makes an announcement about everything. And so sometimes you're like, wow, that was unbelievable. And other times you're like,
I wonder if he's doing it in the in the press briefing room. It doesn't even say that.
I don't think it's going to be big pharma, though. I think he's going after Chicago. I think National Guard are going to be deployed, is my guess, is that he's going to make a major.
That's not
going to
go down as smoothly as it did in L.A. and Chicago,
think. No, I don't think so.
And I think he sees that coming.
Yeah.
And he also knows that when crime drops and there's nobody unalived for a couple of days, people are going to start looking around thinking, why didn't you do this sooner? Why are you letting my children be killed when they didn't need to be?
Yep.
Yeah, the Chiron right now, as you're speaking, Mark, behind you, is Chicago mayor rallies against Fed's help on crime.
Because we want 50 more shootings next weekend.
Yeah, please.
We want 8 more murders on our streets next weekend.
He wasn't just giving a press conference there. He was out speaking, like, tie off.
At Labor Day.
I'm going to go out. And he was passionate about getting no more help on crime.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
He's a socialist. That it makes sense. He needs control of the people, and they need fear to some extent to make that happen. All right, Ryan, can you hang out?
Absolutely.
All right, awesome. We got Ryan Wiggins in studio. We'll be back.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Just a minute. Well, if you missed our segment about 30 minutes ago, we were talking it over with Dan Buck here about his memories at working at Show Me St. Louis, and one of the most impactful interviews you felt you got to do over there, which was the last TV interview with Jack Buck.
Yeah, it was so emotional, so incredible. And his work with cystic fibrosis, which became really his passion the last probably 10, 12 years of his career, wrote the poetry book, in fact, for the benefit of cystic fibrosis. But I could tell it was near and dear to his heart. And I think you have a story about that, Ryan, and your personal connection.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, I'm pretty open about this on the station, although I don't expect that every time I talk about it that everybody's listening. So you may not know that I have cystic fibrosis. And I remember growing up, my mom was very involved in fundraising for cystic fibrosis during my childhood because she couldn't work a full-time job because she had to take care of me. So she was just, you know, kind of threw herself into the issue. And of course that was to help me. And I was around a lot of the St. Louis cystic fibrosis community.
Sure. The events.
Jack Buck was always involved. And I never really knew exactly why. I just heard that he was very passionate about that issue. I assumed that he just knew somebody. I never knew. But I was little. I was a very little kid. And there's still a picture of me in my parents' living room when I was probably 6 years old, going into the booth with Jack Buck. I don't know how I got the invitation.
Wow.
But I got
awesome.
To go in there with Jack Buck. And, you know, I'm only 5 or 6. I'm very little. So I remember the event because the picture's been there for so long. But my own memory of it is very spotty. And because everybody's like, oh, you got to remember going in there to the booth. And I said, no, I don't really remember the booth very well. I remember the view. And that was kind of neat because I'd never seen that before. But all I remember about Jack Buck is that I was kind of nervous because I didn't know what was happening. And he turns to me and he goes, he asked me a couple questions. And I was clearly going like, yes, no, whatever. You know, just little bitty answers. And then he goes, you want some ice cream? And I was like, yes.
You want some ice cream?
And he took me into this, I don't know, personal kitchen that they have or something up there where there were some other people. And I just remember thinking, this is amazing. Because while I don't know who Jack Buck is, but this man just jumped the line for me to get me ice cream. That was the most important thing of that moment for me.
For a six-year-old, that's important.
That's huge.
And that's what I remember from meeting him is the view and then him doing that for me. And then I became very comfortable with him, and I think he knew that. And so he knew the language of a six-year-old and how to speak it.
Well, I can tell you how his love affair and his commitment to the cystic fibrosis started. They had brought a child in, and many charities would have that part of their auction where they would bring in people to the booth. Well, they brought a cystic fibrosis kid in a wheelchair. He had tanks, really a severe case of a young boy. And at the old Bush, the angle of that booth was up above this first level of the broadcasters. There was a second level that was a good 8-10 feet above them with the wall. A line drive came in so hot at an angle, Jack said he'd never seen a ball come off a bat that fast towards them. So fast that Shannon, who loved to catch foul balls coming at the booth, ducked. I mean, he didn't want any part of this line drive. And it just cleared their heads and went straight up over the top of this boy's head, missing him by about a foot. It hit the ceiling, it hit the wall, it hit a sidewall, and the ball bounced on the ground and jumped up and landed on this boy's tray of his wheelchair. And he,
wow.
And like a cat, two hands pounced on it. Jack got so emotional. Like, he knew the odds of that boy catching a foul ball that day were 1 in 1 million, 1 in 10 million. And the fact that that ball landed where it landed, at the velocity it went by him, and to hit all the sidewalls and everything and to give that boy that thrill of catching a foul ball that day. And he passed away a few weeks later. Jack had to leave the booth. He was so emotionally driven by what he had witnessed. He literally, I mean, Shannon told me he cried literally for like an inning or two and couldn't return to the booth. That was the start of his commitment to cystic fibrosis, and said, God's telling me I need to get more involved with this organization. And spent, like you said, so much of his free time helping out families and fundraisers for that organization.
I mean, it's a lot of people, but Jack brought a lot of attention to that issue when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not really a stretch to say that I may not be here if he had not gone into that issue and fundraised like he did. Because I don't have time to give my own personal long story here, but there are medications that have come along in my adulthood that would not have happened if not for a lot of fundraising for a long time.
Wow.
That in my mid-20s, I got very, very sick. And then a medication came along that was just due to people fundraising for it that has given me a completely new lease on life. So,
that's neat to say. So many people hear cystic fibrosis, and Jack's the first person I think of.
Yeah.
The impact he's had on that disease.
Another reason to miss and remember Jack Buck. That's a great story, Ryan. Well, we're glad you're around with us, my friend.
I'm
glad you're doing well.
Like you said, I mean, it's like God's timing, you know, it's hard to speak to people about it because sometimes everybody's different and everybody's timing is different in different families. But for me, it has been exactly what I needed.
Wow.
Every breath is a gift.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
What a great story. All right. It's going to do it for us today. Hang around. That President's News Conference at 1 o'clock will hit square in the middle of the Annie Fry Show. We'll have it live for you. Keep it right here.
Get more at 971talk.com.